Chapter 12. Now, it looks like we've got enough time periods left to get all the chapters in. So that'll be good. We started last time in 12 talking about this group of chapters, 12, 13, and 14. And in these three chapters, 12 talks about the variety of the gifts and the source of the gifts. Now, 13 is about what? Love. All right? Let's see. So it's for marriage? No, it's got something to do with spiritual gifts, doesn't it? Okay? And the usage of those spiritual gifts, and even in life, but specifically in the spiritual gifts they had, if we look at the chapters up until this point, what basic attitude did they lack or didn't exercise? Love, right? Okay? So that bled over into their use of these gifts. And then that's 13. And then when you go to chapter 14, well, let's see. There's some specifics there dealing with called the regulation of the gifts. You know, how you use them and what you do with them, what's the purpose of them, limitations, that sort of thing. Because we'll find that the gifts, the usage of the gifts, could be controlled by the individual. So that lends it to the point that he can give instructions on how to use or not use and when to use, and to extent what usage of those. So that's what's happened to the gifts. Now, chapter 12. As a prelude to this, in what you know about gifts, or gifts requested by people, I'll put my order in for tongues or interpretation or prophecy, okay? Or was it not, okay, what you've seen so far? Even in the apostles, to an extent, that when they received gifts, it was not because of the merit of the individual, but somehow God chose those people to have those gifts. And the apostle chose, not because of any personal merit they had, might have been, but the point is God's choice on who received these spiritual gifts. Now, in question 2, what is the same in verses 4, 5, and 6? You read those 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So what's our common word? Same, isn't it? Now, as we've seen even from the first chapter, the Corinthians had a problem with, the congregation there, okay, had a problem with unity, didn't they? Had a problem with unity and working together for a common purpose. In other words, they had all these divisions and schisms and that sort of thing, which caused strife. So that apparently that issue is here also. So he stresses in these 4 verses that these gifts, ministries and varieties and those sort of things came from the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. That's kind of a little proof test, too, for Trinity. You can use that sometimes, those 3 verses. But what's he saying?
They all come from one source.
One source, and that being?
God.
Heaven. Okay? The perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, perfect choice. And in your mind now, at this point in time, if just in these 3 verses, he's dealing with that same, what's that telling the Corinthians?
Don't be divided.
Yeah. You know, you people are exercising your gifts, And you're dividing. Well, is it God's fault? No. As I've given you the gifts with the same purpose in mind, same source, we never should be divided. And you can see by our example from the same source that you shouldn't be divided either. All right? Now, question number three, the end and aim of the usage of spiritual gifts is for what purpose? In verse 7. What is it?
Common good.
Common good. What's common? Common good. What's common? The whole congregation? Yeah. Okay. Definitely the idea here in good, common good, is to deal with that issue that's troubling them. That's troubling the Apostle Paul. That's troubling the God of heaven. And if, in fact, you have this idea of doing things for the common good, is there an S word that when you think about others for common good, is there an S word there?
Selfless.
Selfless. Service. Servant. See all that? When you consider others. And that's, isn't that their problem? Kind of a basic problem they got. So he's stressing here that these gifts from the same source are for the common good. The common good. And if you keep that in your mind, we're going to get into chapter 13, the love, which is really how you execute those, the attitude, that when you've got that common good in mind, what goes away at Corinth? What issue is greatly helped?
Divisions.
Okay?
And their arrogance.
Sure, all that goes away, doesn't it? Okay? And at least diminishes it quite a bit. Because will you ever have perfect people? No. But the point is, he's giving them instructions on these gifts for the common good. Now, they may have known that at one time. I don't know. I would think so. But the point is, they've grown now, okay, that it's not for the common good. Now, in these gifts, in number 4, I've said, well, what are the 9 gifts in verses 8 through 10? Anybody list those? Sure. Go ahead.
Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues.
Okay. In looking around, that's a good list of 9. And there may be others, but this is certainly a good list. I won't say this is an exclusive list. Some of those are recognizable. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies. Some may not. And a lot of these you may not know, and certainly I don't know the exact answer. What do you do when you say, faith, okay? Well, if you talk faith, that can't be saving faith, okay, because everybody has that. So it's got to be some other kind of faith. And maybe it's a great confidence to do something or achieve something. I don't know. All right? So that's the only one I really saw a question with. I think the rest of them are this and that. So there's 9 gifts. Now, if you look at verses 8, 9, and 10, what is the same there? Yes. Okay. And this is a really good chapter if you want to start marking the scriptures, okay, in the Bible. Same, that sort of thing. And it teaches you when God repeats words, there's a purpose in that. There's an intent on that. And here, this same now, what follows the word same in these? Spirit, isn't it? Okay? So the Spirit of God has a work, has a something to accomplish, and the Spirit, which is God, brought these tongues to them. Now, through the hands of the apostles. Now, again, saying somewhat the same thing, right? We saw same God, same Lord, same Spirit above. From a little different angle, now he's getting specific, see, about these gifts. And the same idea again, the principle is for the common good. For the common good. And in the execution of these, in the execution of these gifts, if we understand that they're from the same source, again, then they should have, there's unity in the beginnings, the origination, and the creator of these gifts. So why shouldn't they be used, you know, in unity, to promote unity and the common good? I think that's the point he's trying to get over to them. Now, I want to skip five for now. Question five, because I want to do six, because five is in the middle of what we just did there, and six, go to six. Now, is this a hard concept? It's not a hard concept, but sometimes you get so steeped in your what you do, and you've got gifts in these people, and you're exercising those gifts, and you've got arrogance about you, and other people give you praise, maybe, okay, for having them. Or you give praise to each other, you grow beyond the common good. You grow beyond service one to another.
You know, I found it interesting that up above we were talking about the effects, you know, mm-hmm. and God's in control of that. And then down here it talks about the Spirit who distributes as He wills. It is for their purpose, and not for the purpose of the one who had the gift. And, you know, he keeps bringing this home. It's not for you, you know. And you're not serving you. You know, you're serving the God. And you're doing, and it's because of what he wants, and not because to glorify yourself.
This is a good expression here of God had granted us all free will. Here I've been given a gift. But then I can abuse that gift, can I? Okay? Use it not for its purpose. And so that's a good point about not being controlled by God and that sort of thing, even though you have the gifts. Now, in number 6, in those verses 14 through 27, we're going to see some words about the body, physical body, and which we've all seen before. And there's going to be some different approaches that he has on some of these in trying to get this unity and trying to get this common good attitude and therefore hopefully solve the problem they got or at least make inform them of it again, bring to their remembrance. Now, in verses 15 and 16. Let me say one thing real quick. On 14 and 20, for the body is not one member but many, but now there are many members but one body. That's your bookends for this little section. Okay, 14 and 20. And in 15 and 16, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Is it not for this reason, any the less, a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. Is it not for this reason, any the less, a part of the body? And remember the foot saying this. Think of a person saying that. They're expressing themselves to other people and say, I'm not a hand, so I'm useless. If I'm not a hand, I'm useless. If I'm not a foot, I'm useless. That was one attitude that some of the people had. In other words, if I don't have that special whatever it is, the esteemed part of the body or whatever it is, then I'm useless. So that's one point. And I just want to say that some of the Corinthians were viewing themselves as useless, not a part of the body, because their gift was viewed by others as of little or no use. That's demoralizing, isn't it? Does that encourage you?
No.
No. All right? But I've got a gift. Yeah, but it's useless. All right? Yeah, but God getting up, it's useless.
But look at the one on the other hand. Yeah. Doesn't make it don't feel like that.
Well, but.
I have the prophecy, mm-hmm. And just look at me. You know, you don't prophesy.
And the point of 15:16, he's dealing with that group of people who feel that they don't have anything to contribute. Or what do they do? It's minor. All right? Now, in 17 and 19, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now, what's being said now?
Shouldn't think that yourself is better than someone
else. Well, let me step back a second on that. It's saying then, okay, you got that special gift now relating to a body. Well, let's see. Then the whole body should be, what's the most esteemed part of the body? Well, let's say. Let's call it your face. Well, your whole body consists of your face. There's no legs, no torso, nothing. That's the argument now, isn't it? See? Well, is that the body? No, so that's the esteemed it greater than all the other, see, miracles. So that's one argument. Where would the body be if the whole body was a face or a hand or an organ inside? Well, it wouldn't be a body, would it? So it wouldn't be God's intent of what it should be. So that's the second argument, second line of reasoning. Now, in verse 18, but God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Whoa, now what? Now what's the teaching now? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired.
Work together.
They're all the same.
God put them there. You people claim to be Christians. You claim to believe that Jesus is the Savior, that the Bible is inspired, the prophets of old are inspired. Okay? You spend your time in religion, quote unquote. God gave these gifts. Now that's another argument, isn't it? To say one is lesser or one is greater. Wait a minute now, you can't. If God chose it, it's for a purpose. His wisdom and his power put it there. Another line of reasoning, isn't it? All right? Now, God in his perfect wisdom chose the gifts and their functions. What gift one has is God's loving and errant choice. So value and use that gift as needed for the entire body to function as God designed the body. As God designed it. All right? That's a good point to think about. Good attitude to think about. Your gift. The first line of reasoning we had, here's one that's being told, your gift's useless. Well, does this encourage them? That point of view does. That God gave it to you. God chose you to have that gift. That's encouraging. I hope that overrides the attitude of these other people. So that's encouraging to them. Now, in the last part here, 21 through 24, it's an interesting area. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No need. 22, on the contrary, is it much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary? Okay. See? And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. 24, whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked. That to be no division in the body. 25. Now what parts of the body are we talking about? What's an important part of your body? That you deem important. Dawn? Okay. Facial skin, let's say. All right. Do we value good looks? Yeah. It has influence. Do we color our eyes, Dawn? All right. Not a color guy from birth. All right.
The stomach or the intestines.
Well, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. Do we value stature? Do we value those outward things? Yes. And I think so sometimes. But there's more seemly parts of the body, and there's more things that are more important on there. Some you can't see and you don't think about.
Like your brain.
Your heart. All right? Your pancreas. Your liver. All right? See, are those things that... See, and that's what he's getting at here. You may not think they're important. See? But I tell you what. When you don't have... 2 kidneys, okay, or you've lost half or one lung, or you got heart problems, see, or you got Crohn's disease, you don't think about those. They're pretty important, aren't they? See? And I mean, I'm disease, I'm dealing with intestines, let's do intestines, okay? They're important. So that's what he's trying to say. And what's the implication to the other members of the congregation who have these gifts, the lesser gifts? What's the teaching?
You're needed.
They're needed. Maybe some of them are really needed. You may have hands, lose a hand. But lose a heart. There's a difference in there for the body's sake. See the line of reasoning? Okay. So these are good things where he's taken the body and shown it to be valuable and less valuable, parts of it more, less. And the same thing with these gifts that they view wrongly as being less important. We'll see coming up in these next chapters where is tongue speaking, or is prophecy more important? Prophecy. All right? But they view the outward thing. And that's what you see today in some of these movements. What's the big gift? Tongues in it. Okay? Glossolalia. And whether it's interpreted or not. But it makes for good show. But you can also get the impression back then it made for good show too, didn't it? Okay? And it was something that it was useful and had a purpose. Now, and the last part of that verse, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Back to God's plan again, isn't it? See, we just had up in the first part, God's plan, He placed them there. but also God's plan. See, that they all have purpose because I say they have purpose. Okay. Now, hard point to understand. Well, it's one that we can forget, but he uses different points on this. And again, that would solve the problem that they had. Back again, it's God's plan again. Solve the problem to encourage those who have been conditioned to think that their gift was a useless gift.
I mean, do you find that we can use this to encourage those members of the Lord's church today who don't think they're important? Because
well, that's the application, isn't it? Let me go beyond that a second.
Sure.
Or include that. We're talking about gifts here, and lesser gifts and greater gifts, and but it relates it to the body and working with the body. There were members in this congregation who didn't have gifts. Well, what about them? Can you imagine? God didn't choose me. Sure, God. If God chose you not to have one, he chose that. So the application is that all should serve and service and help one another. Because after all, when you give prophecy, who does that benefit? When you interpret, who benefits? Everyone there. The ones who have the gifts and that don't have the gifts. See? And the one who interprets those. The one who have healings. See, all those sort of things. So, even though some may not have had it, I suspect so, it's encouraging. Now, if I'm in another congregation back then, and I read this part, where's my application? Well, I may not have many gifts in my congregation. Maybe none. And again, that's the application we're just talking about. Talents are an interesting thing. God's given us all abilities. Now, sometimes our abilities are not developed because of circumstances when you grow up, the culture, parents, grandparents, physical problems, whatever it is. But we all have abilities one way or another. And should we use them for the body? Say, for the common good of the body. That's an application. And the hard part sometimes is to recognize, you know, your abilities, whatever it is, or service to others. I'll say that, service to others, being servants to one another, and to recognize that you can do things, okay, in a consistent basis. You can develop higher levels, okay, of faith exercised in service to others. So you can do that. That's, I guess, a good application. All right? Whatever it is. And well, I see we're all not Steve Fontenot's. There's a service to the congregation, isn't it? Okay? But there is nothing lesser if you're doing your best at it. See? Service one to another on any level. It's all important. Matter of fact, that service that you may think a lesser service may be the heart. See? May be the brain. But God can be the judge of that in His ultimate wisdom. All right? Now. Let's go into 7, but we'll come back to 5 after that. What is the point of the rhetorical questions in verses 29 and 30? After he's talked about this unity, he's talked about, we'll read 28 too, the body and individuals, the body. Okay, we need to work together, lesser parts, greater parts. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, health, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? And the answer is no. All are not prophets, are they? No. All are not teachers, are they? No. All are not workers of miracles, are they? No. All do not have gifts of healing, do they? No. All do not speak with tongues, do they? No. All do not interpret, do they? No. That's the idea we talked about a minute ago, that if the body was just made of your face, it wouldn't be a body, would it? See, if your whole body was a hand, would it function as a body? No. All right. Same idea here. There are a variety of functions within the body. Okay? Body meaning a congregation. I'm going to extend it to that. But in exercising of those individual talents, I'll say, okay, and gifts, 31st verse is, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you a still more excellent way. And it's going to go into that. I show you a more excellent way to exercise those gifts. And what's chapter 13 about?
Love.
Okay. Which was their problem. And my problem too. See, to develop those. Now, so we've seen here there's a unity of source for the gifts. And then from heaven, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And that this, the Spirit is specifically involved in the gifts. And he chooses at his, at the will of heaven who to get those gifts. And the gifts are to be used for the common good. And then he deals with the relationships of the body, doesn't he? Okay, trying to illustrate it. Now, when we go back up to verse 13, we're going to read some verses here. So in the middle of all this, one source, the idea of unity, it talks about in 13. You would think it would be consistently with the rest of the chapter, wouldn't you? Before and after it. Yeah, it is. But you'll see some interpretations are this is Holy Spirit baptism here. Kind of plucked in there. All right? And that's the error of taking things out of context. Now, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Okay? See those words? All, one. Okay? Steve talked about on his sermon this last Sunday, Ephesians 4. And what word gives us is an application here? Ephesians 4. In reference to baptism. One baptism. Ephesians 4, all those items there are common to every believer. Holy Spirit baptism was not. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. When common to all believers. We know that. So what is common to all believers? There's a baptism listed in Ephesians 4. And what baptism is that? Water. Water baptism. Okay? Now, he's reminding them of their salvation. And in their salvation with God, was unity present? Directed by the Spirit? Yes. Yes. Okay? And all this, all these corrections and all these issues here deal with your relationship to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Okay? And salvation. All that deals with it. With how you view things, how you treat others, all that views with it. Okay? Now, so, and if you understand that there's a unity in your salvation in water baptism from one source, the Spirit, why can't you extend that unity in the way you deal with the gifts? Because it apparently worked. That's God's plan for that. Now, Ephesians 4, 1 through 5. I want to read that, and we'll have, then we'll go to Galatians after that. Ephesians 4, 1 through 5. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the what? Of the Spirit in the blood, in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So he's showing unity here of all believers. All believers. No matter if you're slave or free. Gentile or Jew. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 3 now. What's interesting about this set of verses is that they makes us recall, these two verses click in our mind the same way. Remember 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26, 3:26, for you are all sons of God. Who wrote Galatians? Who wrote 1 Corinthians? All right. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Then you click back in that same chapter, verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So this parallels the idea that from the Spirit, those instructions were given to apostles, prophets, okay? And then the Spirit's words, Spirit of heaven, are given to us as instructions, okay? Now, one more thing. If we look at Acts 7:51, excuse me, let me go to Acts 19 first. Acts 19. One through six. I'm kind of dealing with the idea that that's not talking about Holy Spirit baptism over here in the Corinthians. Acts 19, 1-6. And it came about that while Paulus was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what's interesting, you would think maybe that's Holy Spirit above that, and they got gifts, and Holy Spirit baptized them and all that. But verse 6 says no to that question. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesied. So if they had been Holy Spirit before this, in those first 5 verses, he wouldn't have had to lay his hands on them. So there's up here, when you see the Holy Spirit, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Receive the words of the Holy Spirit through those inspired individuals who had the words.
Autonomy for the mm-hmm. gift of, mm-hmm. which is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus, verse 5 explains it.
That's right. Now let's cap this with Acts 7:51. This is Stephen making his defense. You know, we know how it ended up with him, okay? He's been going through all their history and how they resisted God, resisted the instructions of the prophets of old, and they suffered for it. But they chose to resist God, the prophets of old. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Well, wait a minute. How can they resist the Holy Spirit? The words the prophet gave them. See, the Holy Spirit delivers the words to these inspired prophets and apostles. So when you say in 13, one spirit will all baptized into one body, we all drink of one spirit, Greeks and slaves, this is just the word that was brought to them by God. And unity, perfect unity with what's going on. You were all saved the same way, weren't you? Same Spirit. Same Spirit who brought the words of salvation. Same ones brought the gifts to you. Same one chose the gifts. Okay? So, it's a great unity section. And one question? We'll do the greater gifts on verse 31 next time. All right. Thank you very much. And have 13 and 14, because 13 we may move through that. So we have chapters 13 and 14 done. Your questions. Thank you.
I do really like them fat. Yeah. You're looking a little better in my mind these days.